It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We have our op-eds and our podcast there. We're going to have three great podcasts, and those are rolled out right now in the newsletter. So be sure and sign up for that. And we've got a great show planned for you today. Steve and I are going to go through some of these headlines in this first and second segment. My gosh, Seattle's on fire. It's absolutely amazing to me. And then Dr. Jill Vecchio will join us in the third and fourth segment. We'll be talking about the rally this last Sunday down at the Capitol regarding the whole vaccination bill. So that's going to be a very important conversation. So just stay tuned because there's a lot happening out there. So, producer Steve, how are you doing this morning?
Partly cloudy.
Well, I'm looking out and there's not a cloud in the sky. It is a beautiful Colorado day.
It's strictly a state of mind. Has nothing to do with the actual weather.
Yes, we look at the headlines. Thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, thank you. I so appreciate each of you. You have a purpose today. Go out, strive for excellence, take care of heart, soul, mind, and body. Continue to work to get your brain around these ideas so that we can engage with friends and family and colleagues. I tell you, Steve, I continue to talk with more and more people that they're somewhat, I mean, it's very interesting. Family members that have been glued to the TV, to mainstream media, you know, that bought into the whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction, disruption, and now are into this whole America is racist narrative. It's so important that we get our brains around these issues and be able to engage in this battle, because it is a battle, Steve.
No doubt. The timing of the events too, and it's almost more than the human soul can, get perspective on after living through this for 3 months, and then the George Floyd incident happens, and don't tell me that this has been organized, the Antifa, the Black Lives Matters were waiting for some event that would be the match to their fuse.
Well, you know, there was that whole resist movement, so this has all been percolating underneath the surface. And this whole disruption has been percolating under the surface for many, many years. And we are seeing the fruition of that. But let's go ahead and talk about our quotes for today. And that is John Greenleaf Whittier. He was an American Quaker poet and advocate of the abolition of slavery in the United States. Frequently listed as one of the fireside poets, he was influenced by the Scottish poet Robert Burns. Whittier is remembered particularly for his anti-slavery writings, as well as his book Snowbound. He was born in 1807 and he died in 1892. And the reason that I pulled this particular quote from him, because Jill is back in Iowa right now and we'll be talking about farming and just kind of the farming communities. And I wanted to make this note. In the 1930s, one American farmer produced enough agricultural product to feed a total of 4 people. So basically, a family farm was literally meant to feed the family. But fast forward 40 years, and that number would rise from 4 people to 73. Fast forward through 80 years of agriculture and bioscience innovation, and in the 2010s, one farmer produces enough food to feed 155 people. And this is from Recipes, How Stuff Works. They said their sources are the USDA and Sullivan. Now, let's think about just what that means. I mean, we're feeding the world. And, you know, I just think that that's really important that people realize that. I think during this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, people thought that your produce just came, your meat, everything just came from the grocery store. There's actually out there farmers that are raising, you know, cows and pigs and chickens and all of the produce. And I just really want to make sure that people understand that, Steve.
Well, again, we collectively speaking, we have a flair for taking things for granted. Can you see how the bubbles were burst there in the earliest days of this mess when they walked into their grocery stores and, you know, the shelves were, the produce section was bare, the meat section was bare.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So one American farmer now feeds 155 people. Pretty amazing. So thank you to the American farmer. And this is what John Greenleaf Whittier said. He said, "Give fools their gold and knaves their power. Let fortune's bubbles rise and fall. Who sows a field or trains a flower or plants a tree is more than all." So thank you to the American farmer. Okay.
Amen.
Okay. A couple of things that are happening that I would love to have you join us. The first is, and we're going to have Helen Raleigh on Monday, but she and Dr. Paul Prentice reached out to me and wanted to do an event regarding their presentation on the three punches to knock down democratic socialism. Now, my friends, if we ever needed to try to get our brains around these words, now is the time. And the event will be June 22nd. It'll be 5 to 8 over at Water's Edge Winery. So 5 to 6 is arrive, mix and mingle, order your food. And then 6 to 7 they'll present, and then there will be questions after that. The tickets are $20 plus a $3 processing fee, and then when you get to Jen's over at Water's Edge Winery, you will just order and pay for whatever you want to eat and drink. It'll be a great event. You can go to my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, to purchase your tickets, and we are probably about 2/3 sold out already. So if you are considering joining us that evening, I would suggest that you go ahead and get your tickets. And the other event, and I'm still working on kind of the logistics on it. This is very fluid, but I've had Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas on, who are, they basically grew up in black Democrat families. And in the 2016 election cycle, Reggie said, "I heard a candidate talking about intellectual property rights." And they've been in the entertainment business for many years, very successful businessmen and writers, creators, producers, and performers in the black entertainment business. And they've seen sending things off to, for example, China to be manufactured. And as we know, China, many times that product will be reproduced without paying anything for the idea on that, sent back over to the United States, and you know, they don't make any money on that. It's intellectual property rights. It's property rights are so inherent in the American idea. And at that point, Reggie Carr said, "Donald Trump is my man." And he started I'm a Trumpster. It's a lot of great gear. It is geared more towards the ethnic communities. And both those guys, Johnny and Reggie, have invested significant money into supporting Donald Trump in this particular election. They were down in living in Atlanta. Johnny's originally from Georgia. Reggie's actually originally from here. And they met with a number of other black leaders with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump said, "I need help in these potential swing states." And so they decided to come back to Colorado. And they're like, "What can we do to influence the ethnic communities?" And so what they have done is they've decided to go big. They have organized a bus. It's going to be a tour bus. and they're going to take this into ethnic communities. And as I said, they have put 98%, they funded 98% of everything that they're doing, but they need $10,000 to wrap the bus. And I think the bus will arrive here in Colorado today or tomorrow. And so we need to help them raise, or we need to raise the money to help them wrap this bus. And so go to, first of all, imatrumpster.com, imatrumpster.com, and contribute. And then email me at kim@kimmunson.com, and so that I can keep track of that. And then we are going to have a party with the bus on June 26th. And if you can't make it, that's okay as well. You also will get, you'll be helping us. And then we also, they have these really cool battle masks. You may not wear a mask, but it's kind of a cool one. You could probably put it on your arm or something. And you'll get that as well. So my friends, they could really use the help. They've been promised by, you know, kind of big money people to help, and then that has disappeared. So we need to do this grassroots.
Should we say what we mean by wrap the bus?
Oh, okay.
I'll just say that we've all seen the light rail cars that, you know, we know what the basic light rail car looks like. Then you see the one that's been modified by a certain business with their...
like an advertisement.
A rolling advertisement, essentially. That's a wrap. So basically what Reggie and Johnny are doing is putting a whole new look to this bus with, obviously, the logo and, you know, what it's all about.
Thank you. Sometimes I take it for granted that we all know it, what I mean. And lots of times people can't read my mind, so thank you very much, Steve.
Well, they could be thinking RAP, the bus. No, it's WARP, the bus.
That's right. Sounds like a radio station, doesn't it? So, okay, we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners. And it's been so crazy for all of these different restaurants and taverns and bars through this Wuhan virus reaction disruption. So, but Hooters restaurants are open now. You can actually order your dinner to go. Go to order.hooters.com, and they have curbside pickup. Or the last week, I met a friend over at the Hooters restaurants in my neighborhood, and just had some great beverages sitting out on their deck and some wonderful nachos. And so be sure and go to Hooters. And I guess, Steve, that there's actually going to be a hockey season and a basketball season, so that will be a great place to go watch the games.
Well, I'll believe it. You know, what do they say? Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. I'll believe it when I see it.
That's true. So let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about what's happening in Seattle. So stay tuned.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And the information for our June 22nd event, Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism, is there. And then the other thing, help Reggie and Johnny raise the money to wrap the bus. That means, you know, putting, you know, all the stuff on the outside like you see on cars or on train cars. And we're trying to help them raise $10,000. So go to imatrumpster.com, contribute, and then just email me, kim@kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And just let me know. I'm keeping a list of that. And my friends, we can do this. And thank you. Thank you to each of you. We had a listener call yesterday, and he said, you know, I don't really do a lot on the computer. I said, okay, well, just, you know, you can send the money to me, and I'll get it over to Reggie and Johnny. So thank you to each of you. And thank you, Earl, for that call on that. Steve, we're seeing this. Well, you know, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And there is this whole movement now to defund police, our police departments. Now, when the nefarious bad guys show up, who are you going to call? As in our podcast last week with Reverend C.L. Bryan, he says, Ghostbusters. And to your point, you said the bureaucrats were trying to shut them down, too. But ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And what is happening in Seattle now is absolutely astonishing. So shall we start with the Rudyard Kipling and then the soundbite that you got and then go into Seattle?
Is that all right?
Okay. Rudyard Kipling. He says, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And Rudyard Kipling, as you know, he wrote The Jungle Book. He lived, around the turn of the 20th century, so in the early 1900s was probably when he was writing this. So you have a soundbite that you'd like to share with us as well, Steve.
Yeah, Kipling passed away in 1936, and there's nothing wrong with that quote at all. It says a lot. I just found this the other week, actually 2 weeks ago, I guess. It's a more contemporary, and it's the practice of what Kipling was saying. This is Bill O'Reilly, and it just shook me right down to my toes.
I am thinking about an article in the Wall Street Journal by former CBS News president Van Gordon Sauter. Mr. Sauter says, quote, the highly influential daily newspapers in New York, Washington, Los Angeles, and Boston are now decidedly liberal. On the home screen, the three broadcast networks still have their liberal tilt. Two of the three leading cable news sources are unrelentingly liberal in their fear and loathing of President Trump, unquote. Van Gordon Sauter goes on to write that this will not change because there's too much money in hating Donald Trump, and the media must now cater to partisan people. All of this is true, but the danger for the country is not mentioned in the article.
Okay, now that's the setup to where this is going. Here's the actual question. Here is the modern component of what Kipling was saying.
Okay.
When journalism no longer seeks to expose or find the truth, who will? How will the folks know what is real? Who is trying to hurt them? Who is a phony? Well, the answer is they won't know. And therefore, their vote will not be as intelligent and perceptive as it might be. The media is there to help American citizens clarify the truth. It is failing dismally.
There you go.
The who, how, and you know, Steve, I continue to talk with more and more people whose family members are glued to the mainstream media and these newspapers, and the fear that these people have regarding the COVID-19 thing, and then the capitulation to this narrative that is tearing our country apart. I'm just really surprised that people don't see the danger in the anarchy. But, you know, when we talk about socialism, socialism is equal in its misery for most of the people. You'll have the people at the bottom, which will be all of us, because in socialism there is no middle class. There is the haves and the have-nots. And so Patty had pulled this particular piece, and we talked about it last night, and I just couldn't believe it, that in Seattle, there is now six blocks that they basically have said there's no police there. And they're running checkpoints. They call it CHAZ. And it's near Capitol Hill. And so it says Seattle police say some demonstrators on Capitol Hill there in Seattle are armed and trying to extort protection money from area businesses and residents. They said, we have been hearing from community members that they have been subjected to barricades set up by protesters with some armed, and how did these people have weapons? Because I thought that this whole movement didn't want weapons. But anyway, these protesters have some armed individuals running them as checkpoints in the neighborhood. Seattle Police Assistant Chief Deanna Nolette said during a news conference on Wednesday. While they have a constitutionally protected right to bear arms, there is no legal right for those arms to be used to intimidate community members. If you are a victim of extortion, Seattle police are asking you to call 911. Steve, can you believe this? We're seeing anarchy. This is what it really comes down to. You get rid of the police departments then, and who's going to protect you? You will have to protect yourself. Although down here at the Colorado State House, they're trying to run Second Amendment bills that say that you, if you own a firearm in your home, that you have to have it under a quote-unquote safe lock. So when the bad guys are coming to break down your door, you're going to have to say, wait a minute. I have to run down here because the Colorado legislature said that I have to have my gun locked up. It's none of their business.
Yes. So, give me a minute before you hit the door again.
Yeah, exactly. So, my friends, I'm hoping that we can start to see that this movement, I think we're in total agreement here in America. What happened to George Floyd is not okay. You know, he did not have the benefit of due process, and it was cruel and an unusual punishment how he died. Those things are in the Constitution that we need to have due process, and there's no cruel and unusual punishment. But because that happened, that doesn't mean that we, you know, throw all that out. We have to continue to move towards, you know, due process and the things that are in the Constitution to protect everyday people and their property and their life and their liberty. And it's so insidious, Steve, of how this narrative is being used, and people feel guilty for just wanting to go to work and to take care of their families. And it seems like we're capitulating. And to your point of the soundbite that you found, it is because the mainstream media is continuing to hammer this. And then we see, you know, all of the, you know, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer continue with that narrative. And what is so interesting is that if you even have some of these liberal editors that would allow another voice, then they are being fired or, you know, demoted in their jobs. It's astonishing to me, Steve.
I don't know enough about the history of journalism. I mean, way back. But I think of the giants of journalism as it was being developed and as it evolved, who really knew about the importance of staying neutral and just report the facts and let the readers, let the consumers make up their minds as to what was really coming down here. But you got to admit the irony of what's happening in Seattle, the irony that these people who don't want the police, pushing the police out, taking over right in the middle of town, but the first thing they seek to do, and again, for nefarious reasons, is to set up some kind of law enforcement. You know, pay us money and we'll protect you.
Yeah. It's a shakedown is what it is. And, you know, every profession has bad actors. That certainly happens. But, you know, our police are really there to keep the peace. They're supposed to be peace officers so that we can, you know, live in safety and go after our hopes, our dreams, take care of our families. Now, another thing that's really catching the Democrats is that the Democrats lead the list of those taking cash from the police unions. So what's happening on the left is they are eating their own. Seattle is a city that has been run by leftists for years and years and years. And so now, you know, I don't think that these Democrat leaders realize that actually you let anarchists take over here and you're going to be out as well. Because I think that they're calling for the resignation of the mayor there in Seattle. Another thing, another headline is in Paso Robles, California. A California sheriff's deputy was shot in the head early Wednesday in what investigators described as an ambush attack on the police station. The shooter, who remained at large, opened fire around 3:45 a.m. on a police station in Paso Robles. The deputy was struck while responding to the shooting, and his partner dragged him to safety, or to a shooting, dragged him to safety and returned fire. This open season on our police officers is not okay. And you have to ask, if we don't have our police forces, who are you going to call when the nefarious characters are trying to hurt you or take your property? And who's going to strap on their boots and put their uniforms on and go out and be maligned like they are in the media right now with this open season, if you will? Who's going to do that? And then when you are, need safety and protection, who's going to be there? It's going to be like these protesters. They're going to shake you down. They're going to say, okay, for X amount of dollars, we'll protect you. But how's that eventually going to work out, Steve? Your quick comment, and then we'll go to Jason.
I'll show it to you later after the show. It's every once in a while, when you think things are so dark, then you see the leftist media make a major error. Don Lemons, the chief idiot at CNN, whether he set it up or his producer did, they had Sheriff David Clark, retired from Milwaukee, as a guest. And Clark wasn't buying it. And Lemons trying to set him up, and Clark just jumps down his throat. And now Lemons trying to, no, Sheriff, calm down, Sheriff. No, we need to have this discussion. And the sheriff just goes right at him. And it was so revealing. Here's two black men at each other's throats over this concept of we don't need the police. And finally, Lemon lost all control, and you knew it was going to happen. He looks at the camera and says, we're going to take a commercial break, while Sheriff Clark keeps on erupting, let's say. So I'll show you that clip later. It'll make you cheer.
Okay, we'll see if we can get Sheriff Clark on. I know him, so we'll see if we can do that. So Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, what's going on?
Well, Kim, we've got jobless claims coming out today, which, sometimes that seems a little confusing, doesn't it?
It does.
Jobless claims, and then we have the jobs report. Well, we were chatting for a minute yesterday or a couple days ago, and the jobless claims come out every week. That is based on new claims for unemployment. So that's how many new people each week are filing for new unemployment claims, where we get the jobs report once a month, Kim, and that tries to show the whole picture of, how many people are employed versus unemployed. So it does get a little bit weird, because last week we got jobless claims on a Thursday, and it was like 2 million new claims for unemployment, but then the next day, the whole jobs report for the month showed that we had added 2.5 million jobs.
Okay, so thank you for clarifying that. So what do you think we're going to have this week? That will be the jobless claims that will be coming out this week?
Well, it'll be coming out pretty quick here today, and they are expecting, about 1.6 million or so new jobless claims. That's a heck of a lot, Kim, but it's less than the 6 million we were seeing. It's less than the 2 million last time around. But it's funny, the futures on the Dow are down about 800 points right now. Mm-hmm. And, you always try to see what's the news. And, they're saying, it's the jobless claims numbers coming out, which I don't think I'd buy that. I think the market has just kind of gotten up, and, people have decided they're going to take some gains off the table, and, there's not enough buyers to keep it up right now. So we'll see what happens by the end of the day, but it does look like we're going to kind of get a punch in the gut, at least at the opening, Kim.
Well, it's probably everybody was listening to you where you've said the last few days when the market is really high, you might want to keep some of your powder dry. So that's probably what happened, Jason.
Oh, it's my fault. I think it's because you called me and told me to sell 1% of your portfolio, and the market just can't handle it.
That's exactly right, Jason McBride. But I would suggest people sit down and strategize, and you know, check your risk tolerance. You know, check the proportion of cash and bonds and stocks, and make sure that that works with your personality. Jason McBride and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management are experts at that. I'd highly recommend people give you a call. What's your phone number, Jason?
Kim, pretty easy, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good show, Kim.
Thank you. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Dr. Jill Vecchio is on the line, and we'll be talking about the vaccination rally, and she's back in Iowa right now, what's happening in the heartland, so stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
When the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down, the farmer is the man.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We have on the website the information for the event with Helen Raleigh and Dr. Paul Prentice, the three punches to knock down democratic socialism. My friends, you need to get your brains around this narrative, and Helen and Paul are two people that can really help you with that. That event is June 22nd at Water's Edge Winery. And then also help us raise $10,000 to get the wrap, the I'm a Trumpster bus that Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas are putting together. And you can do that by going to imatrumpster.com. Donate, contribute there, and then just shoot me an email at kim@kimmunson.com as well, and we'd really appreciate that. Dr. Jill Vecchio, you're back in Iowa, so I said to Charlie, let's get some farming songs, because you're in the heartland, so this is in honor of the fact that you're in Iowa, Jill.
Yes, greetings from America's heartland, the breadbasket of the U.S. If you ate today, thank a farmer.
And you know what? You might not have heard my quote at the beginning of the day. I had a John Greenleaf Whittier quote about the farmer. But did you know one American farmer feeds 155 people? Is that not efficient or what?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And the yields are just going up. I mean, granted, people hate GMOs, but, unfortunately, and some of them really kind of freak me out, but that's the only way you can feed the country, with the population growth and everything else. It's, you got to find a way to feed people.
Well, it is pretty creative. And I guess if the choice is hungry, no food, or being able to eat something. People should be able to make their choice. Free market, you can have organic things, or you can have, your other products. The free market, people should be able to choose, is what I think on
right.
that, Jill. So,
yeah, I mean, the GMO, some of the GMO corn and soybean stuff has increased yield by at least 5 or 6 times. So one single plant will make 5 to 6 times more food or feed grain than it did, 30 years ago. It's pretty incredible.
Well, and, the other thing is, let's see, it said in the 1930s, the American farmer produced enough food to feed their family. Basically, it was a family farm. And let's think about the life expectancy. It has increased since 1930 as well. So I think that there's a correlation, you know, between the two. And it's important. It's important to say thank you. And you know, it seems like sometimes the American farmer gets beat up, but since we, you know, in the media and a variety of different places. But after this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption. When people went to the store and there wasn't meat there, there wasn't hamburger or chicken or, you know, the produce that they were just so used to going in and having the opportunity to purchase anything they wanted, you know, all of a sudden, I think people maybe, I hope they had a wake-up call on that, Jill.
Well, a lot of times people don't think about where this actually comes from. And it kind of amazes me what the international connections are. And in Iowa, and my brother, you know, my father farmed here, and my family, the siblings, since my father passed away, all of us kind of now own the farm. And part of that was the cattle operation. So learning about packing plants, and I grew up in near Storm Lake, which is northwest Iowa, Buena Vista County, which has the highest per capita number of cases of COVID, because they had, I think at one time they used to have two packing plants. I think they have one now. I can't remember, but it's one of the, there are packing plants all over the Midwest that process the cattle and pigs and chickens and turkeys. It's not a pleasant business, but it has to be done if you're going to eat meat. So these packing plants have high rates of COVID cases, and actually the testing, they're doing a lot of testing in all of the packing plants now. That's why you're seeing an increase in the number of cases. They're just doing more testing.
Okay.
But it's up to almost 20% of workers in a packing plant that are testing positive for COVID. That being said,
now, are they sick?
There have hardly been
or are
any
they just
deaths.
Okay.
Almost no death.
Are they sick? That's the first question. Are they sick or they're just testing positive?
There is sickness, but I couldn't find numbers, and I've spent hours going all over the place on this, even with the agricultural. The morbidity and mortality statistics from the CDC, agriculture magazines, publications, I've been going all over the place, and it's really hard to get information numbers on, okay, this many are testing positive, but how many are being hospitalized? How many deaths are there? And then you always have to temper that with how many real deaths are there, not just the CDC's and the hospital's statistic manipulation, right?
Uh-huh.
But the hospital systems are not being overrun. There's a small hospital in Sioux City that I have privileges at, and I think they have 64 COVID patients and maybe I think 19 on ventilators, and that's between the two hospitals in that area of downtown Sioux City, Iowa.
Now, is that
they're not overwhelmed at all?
Okay,
at this point they're busy but not overwhelmed.
Okay,
and they have big packing plants in Sioux City. The Sioux Falls, South Dakota, was one of the first big outbreaks here at a pork processing plant, and that processing plant, and I read this in a local newspaper back in March when I was there, when this stuff was just, people were starting to shut down restaurants and bars. That packing plant in South Dakota that had the big outbreak early on is owned by a huge Chinese company. That plant produces something like, 5% of the pork produced in the United States comes out of that plant in South Dakota. They could process 20,000 hogs a day.
Wow.
You just think about the numbers are staggering. So you can imagine how many workers they have. But apparently in January or February, some of the owners, the Chinese national owners, visited the plant.
Interesting.
Then a month later, a huge outbreak. But the reason, I think it's fascinating that the reason that China wants to own pork and U.S. pork production and soybean production is intimately tied to China because China consumes a lot of pork. That's why they wanted to have ownership of a pork plant in the U.S. China raises hogs, but not nearly enough for their population.
And probably not as efficiently, I mean, as the American farmer, as we were talking, you know, earlier.
Right, right. And we have more soybean production. So soybeans are used to feed hogs, to raise the hogs. So we've been sending soybeans to China. A couple of years ago, there was a huge swine flu in China, and millions of hogs had to be euthanized.
I remember that.
That caused a crash in the soybean market in the Midwest, in the U.S. So it's the intimate connections with the U.S. and China in that kind of commodities market is astounding. And I didn't realize it until my brother explained it to me a couple of years ago when the swine flu thing happened. I guess that was 2019. That was really 2019. So now the U.S. just thought, okay, great. Now we're gonna kick up because the tariffs went on soybeans as well. And that was a big deal because tariffs were put on U.S. soybeans because China uses them to feed their pigs. And they use the soy products, right? So, wow, the whole interaction and the intertwining of the two countries is pretty impressive. It's eye-opening, I thought.
It's very eye-opening. I hadn't even thought about the agricultural component of that. So, hey, Jill, I tell you what, let's go to break a little bit early. Before we do that, though, wrap this up. You're so good at that. What would you say on this conversation that we've just had would be the takeaway that people should have about this whole issue?
The packing plants, the reason they were hit so hard, of course, they're in close proximity, but also the people that are brought in, people are recruited from other countries to come to the U.S. and work at these packing plants. It didn't used to be that way, but it's turned into that way over the last 20-some years. So most of the people working at packing plants are from
immigrants.
Other countries.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
A lot of in Buena Vista County, Storm Lake, Iowa, has the whites are a minority in Storm Lake, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They're something like 40 different languages are spoken mm-hmm. at the high school there. A lot of Laotians, Southeast Asians, and Mexicans work at the packing plants. Culturally, they live maybe two families or certainly extended families, grandparents, parents, kids, grandkids, blah, 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 mm-hmm. all living in the same house in close proximity to one another. The minute those things start at the packing plants, it spreads throughout the community. In Storm Lake, Iowa, 1 out of 10 people have tested positive for COVID.
Okay.
1 out of 10. That's big. So it's a cultural thing. And the interaction. So whenever you eat food, think of a farmer.
Okay.
How about that?
Well, and just a couple of things. The other takeaway is you said that you have tried to find out. So 1 in 10 people in that community have tested positive, but you could not find the mortality rate or the morbidity numbers on that.
The morbidity numbers in BV County, which is Northwest Iowa, a little portion of it, 1,300 plus cases. Less than 20 deaths. And I think the death rate is actually like 5.
Okay. So that's really important.
It's significant. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Significant in that the high number of cases, low number of deaths.
That is a very important takeaway. And then you have seen Patty had pulled a headline a few weeks ago that, you know, some of these governors, I think that Governor Polis said, I can shut down these packing plants here in Colorado, and you wonder, now wait a minute, couldn't there be a creative way, if there is a problem, to figure a creative way to continue to make sure that we have our food supply happening? And you know, it's just been so telling, these blue state governors that have been, rattling their power that they can do this or they can do that. But let's go to break. But again, that point that Jill made is that there were a significant amount of cases of COVID-19 Wuhan virus, and very few deaths. Each life is important, but very few deaths. And she had to do a lot of work to get that information. Let's go to break. On the line with me is Dr. Jill Vecchio, and we're going to talk about the vaccination rally this last Sunday. So stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Here's to the farmer, the plants, the fields, and the spring.
Hey, welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's KimMunson.com, MONSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. Be sure and check out the Three Punches to Knock Down Democratic Socialism, our event at Waters Edge Winery on June 22nd. And help us raise the $10,000 that we need to put the I'm a Trumpster rap on the bus that Reggie Carr and Johnny Thomas will be taking into ethnic neighborhoods to move the needle for Donald Trump here in Colorado. And so the way to do that is to go to imatrumpster.com, contribute, and then $50, $100, anything more, but $50 if you want to be part of this celebration we're going to have with the bus on June 26th. And then just email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well, so that I can get you on the list that you are helping us with that. Dr. Jill Vecchio, it always goes way too quickly when you are on the line. And really important conversation. So really interesting with you back in Iowa. I love the heartland of America. I grew up in Kansas, so I love that. And my maternal grandfather was a butcher. So I actually remember they had a little grocery store, and I was a kid, and they had the sawdust back in the area, and they had a beautiful deli case. But I remember that. But let's jump over here to the vaccination rally. You and Patty and I went down to that rally on Sunday. First of all, I found it so interesting that they would have a legislative hearing on a Sunday at noon. I felt like it was another slap in the face to the Christian community. But man, there were a lot of people there, Jill.
It was a really great, great rally. It's also interesting that they gave 2 days notice.
I know.
And that they were going to have this hearing on Sunday at noon. Absolutely ridiculous. And they didn't even say exactly when they were going to start the hearings, what the criteria were going to be. You had to sign up online. I think they allowed people to speak for 2 minutes. Each person testifying, they limited testimony to just a few hours, which they don't usually do. So many exceptions on this bill. But it was really heartwarming to see Democrats, Republicans, Libertarians, people who are otherwise, a lot of whom I believe were not politically active except for the vaccine issue. A lot of young people, a lot of young families with their kids. It was really a neat event. And the idea that so many people flew in, expert witnesses flew in for the rally and then to give testimony with only 2 days notice. I thought it was all just very impressive.
Now let's talk about vaccinations. You're a doc. And I mean, vaccinations have been a good thing. But when you looked at the CDC schedule, I remember the conversation, you kind of said, hold the phone here. So tell our listeners about that.
Well, right. And I feel kind of bad because I have not kept up with what kind of, I know that when I apply to work at a hospital, I have to provide my vaccine, you know, how many, what vaccines I've had. And if I'm missing anything, I have to get those vaccines, like the DPT, the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, and explain to me why those are combined. But I had to get that. I've already had my hepatitis B, but they want me to have a flu vaccine or I can't work at the hospital. I have a problem with that. I'm not allowed to practice medicine if I haven't had these vaccines. But I didn't realize how extensive the vaccine schedule was, had become for children. When you and I were kids, we had, what, smallpox, polio, measles, mumps, rubella, I think, came out when we were maybe in grade school. Maybe it was before that, but like 50s, 60s, I think. There wasn't that much. When I was in medical school, hepatitis B vaccine started, came out, and we had, you know, three of those. And it, as a physician, I didn't disagree with that because we're exposed to every possible bodily fluid at any given time, and having a needle stick from a hepatitis B patient, you could get hepatitis B. So it was completely indicated, I thought, for a physician. I thought that was fine. Now, tiny babies are being given hepatitis B vaccine, and they're given like five different boosters of it. It's ridiculous. Why does a baby have to have hepatitis B vaccine? Unless the mother's an IV drug user, it just doesn't make any sense. Well, all these vaccines, just look at a rotavirus. I mean, all this stuff, you look at it, it's like, you've got to be kidding me.
So you were surprised when you looked at the actual schedule, because right. I think we're in a, like, of course, you know what? I actually had the mumps. I had the chicken pox. I had the measles when I was a kid. I had them all.
Right, me too.
But, you know, vaccines, childhood, you know, I've thought that's a good idea. But I'm the same with you. When I started to understand people reaching out and they're saying there's all these different vaccines. And then this the fact that in the early 80s, the pharmaceutical companies were given immunity by an act of Congress, that if there was, you know, an injury, that they could not be sued for that. And then, so let's think about this, my friends. And so you have a product that if you don't, you know, if there's an injury there, you can't be held accountable. And then you have, now it would be an unaccountable, unelected group of individuals with the CDC or these health departments that would mandate vaccines that may not have even been invented yet, and you can't have any informed consent. It's all force. That's the point, Jill, where I thought danger, danger. So we've got about 3 minutes. What's your thoughts on all this?
I've said this many times. The whole coronavirus, COVID-19, what it has devolved into is power grabs, right? And it's Anthony Fauci has made it very clear that a vaccine is what he's after for COVID, for coronavirus. Well, we don't even know if this is ever going to come back. I've said that over and over again. But mark my words, everybody, this is going to be all about yet another forced vaccine that we're going to have to have. Understand that the CDC makes money off of every vaccine because they have patents on testing materials. They get government grants to study. They control the mandates. But there's also this weird symbiotic sick relationship of big pharma that make these vaccines and the CDC, who then mandates that everybody has to have them. And Anthony Fauci is right in the middle of that, and he's been right in the middle of it for 40 years.
Okay, so just think about this.
Not a healthy relationship.
No. So immunity, if there is an injury, then mandate people have to have it, take away their informed consent, take away their exemptions, which is what this Colorado vaccination bill does, is basically right now for school children, but, you know, they'll expand that. They'll take away your religious exemption, your personal exemption. That's what this particular piece of legislation is all about. And so, and this is all going to play into, hey, if you don't get the COVID-19 vaccine, you won't get to go to the stores, like not having a mask, or, you know, you won't get to go to the ball game or whatever. So this is big danger. Jill, 1 minute. What's your final thought?
The idea that they think that they can force us to undergo an injection of a foreign substance into our bodies with no informed consent is the absolute pinnacle of tyranny.
That is
the bottom line. The idea that they can force us to put something into our bodies without informed consent, and it just violates every aspect of freedom.
That is the takeaway for today. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much. Enjoy Iowa, enjoy the Heartland, and thank a farmer.
You bet.
Okay.
Take care.
Our quote for today is John Greenleaf Whittier. He says, "We shape ourselves the joy or fear of which the coming life is made, and fill our future's atmosphere with sunshine or with shade." So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM, AM 560 and 100.7 FM, 560thesource.com.